Welcome to Leveling Up with Lindsay, the podcast where we dive into leadership, small business, and everything in between. I'm Lindsay, your host and the proud owner of White Peony Boutique, a space created to empower women, build confidence, and foster meaningful connections. Whether you're an entrepreneur, a mom, a friend, or someone just looking for a little inspiration, this is your space to feel seen, supported, and inspired. Join me as we share stories, strategies, and a little bit of life's chaos while navigating what it truly means to level up in starting a business, relationship, and personal growth. So grab a cup of coffee, get comfy, and let's level up together. Hi friends, this is Leveling Up with Lindsay. Today's episode is incredibly special to me because I get to introduce you to the woman behind so much of who I am. She's not just my biggest supporter, she's truly the heart of my story. She's my mom. And I can confidently say that White Peony Boutique would not even exist without her. From my work ethic to my creativity to the way I connect with people, so much of that came from watching her. She's the one who taught me to speak up, work hard, and lead with love. She has this rare magic where she believes anything is possible and somehow makes you believe it too. So today I want to honor the woman who helped me build the foundation I stand on. So Mama, welcome.
Well, thank you.
Are you tearing up already?
Nope, not going to do it. Not crying. Are you crying?
We're going to probably.
Probably. You can tell in my voice it'll go out.
All right. Well, so for the people who haven't met you yet, how would you describe yourself?
I would say that I am the fixer and maker of the family.
I 100% agree with that.
Because if it's broken, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to sure try. Whether it's something physical or if you...
like need help.
Need help or if you're just in a mood. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to fix it.
Yep.
And then it's the creativity part that makes me the maker.
The maker. And I think we were talking about this before, with the maker and the fixer, you're definitely one to, like you said, go try to help someone who needs something. You said it so well as far as it made me think of the maker and about making someone's day or doing these little thoughtful gestures. There's a lot more to the fixer and the maker than just sewing a button or fixing stains on a shirt. You've always been someone who's deeply passionate, incredibly hardworking. Where do you think that drives from?
Well, my parents were very hardworking, but we were also very poor. So to help change that narrative, that as soon as I could work, you know, we did. And it wasn't just one job. It was
multiple.
I think in college I had 7 jobs. It was kind of silly. I was losing more money running around than I was making, but we peeled it back to 3 jobs and then I was good.
What is something you think that people would be surprised to know about you?
Nothing. I'm pretty open. I'm pretty much an open book. I wear my heart on my sleeve and my eyebrows are pretty loud. You know, they're kind of shooting things around. You know, I just like to do so many different things and I like to do the things that most people don't like to do. Mm-hmm. The old handwork and quilting and sewing and baking. And, you know, I mean, it's just all the things that are a lost art I really like to try to do.
I do agree with that. I think you had said at one point you said that I said this as a little girl.
You did.
I said, or the question I asked, I guess.
The question you asked was, Mom, how do you know how to do that? And I went, I don't, but I'm going to find out. I'm going to figure it out. And we always did. And it wasn't always perfect and it was messy. We didn't always get it done on the first shot, but we didn't give up. And there's always a solution. And for people to say, no, you can't, I have a problem with that. I think no is a convenience word. Sometimes you say no to your kids because it's convenient for you. And it's not necessary. So that was when I was young, too. One of my mom's favorite things of saying, well, you can't do that. I don't have a pattern. It's like, oh, but we could make a pattern.
You definitely have instilled that in me. I think one of the funniest things that you always say that makes me laugh is, ooh, don't tell my daughter no.
Because
it's not
no.
That that's I'm going just... to, if there's a will, there's a way. And my mom has definitely instilled that in me.
Absolutely. I used to get into trouble because somebody would say no. And it was like, oh, just watch.
The challenge accepted.
Exactly. Because it's like, okay, well, I'll just give me the opportunity to prove you completely wrong.
I love it. Let's take it back to like your early career life. What kind of things, like tell me a little bit about your past work? Because I know quite a few different places I've been connected or you've introduced me to a few.
I've never been unemployed. So I started when I was babysitting at 9, corner tasseling 13, McDonald's at 15. I mean, it was just, and then when you started adding different jobs that we could.
That had something to do, like, with your life.
It did, and it depended upon where I was at and the position that I needed. It was almost opportunistic because it was like I worked at a bridal shop and I was going to get married. You know, so you work in that bridal industry, and I managed hotels and we owned businesses. And then when you were little, it was too difficult to get daycare. So, well, I had an elementary ed background, so I started a daycare. Mm-hmm. That solved that problem. And then it was, you can't just have a daycare. I needed to have a curriculum for the kiddos to make sure that they were ready for school. Mm-hmm. So just all of those things accumulated.
My mom has been known as Mama Jane since I was little because Mama Jane's daycare was, that wasn't the name of it, but
nope,
she
it was definitely, Teddy Bear Junction.
Yes, and we have people that went to her daycare that still keep in contact with my mom.
So wonderful. And I just love those little buggers.
I know. They're all graduated and everything.
They're having babies.
Oh, that's crazy.
I'm feeling
because
really
I
old.
Remember babysitting them.
Yes.
You know, on the weekends or whatnot. And remember holding like little Olivia who had
Olivia
the strawberry
and
hair
Hannah.
Like mine. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so crazy. And so cool. So you've obviously left an incredibly lasting impression. Taking it back, was there ever a moment where you thought, yes, this is what I'm meant to be doing, or maybe the opposite where you're like, you know, I'm meant for something different? And when I think of that with you, I think a little bit about your last career and leading up to where you are right now.
After daycare, I worked for T-Mobile for a long time. And then the position I was in, I had moved from a sales to, it was kind of inventory and merchandising and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that position was eliminated throughout the company. So I ended in a kind of a stepping stone position with a different company, different industry. And that really wasn't a good fit. I mean, I loved the people. It was a wonderful company. But it was a numbers person. And I'm a creative. So it's like giving someone a paint by number set, but you're a watercolor person.
Yeah.
So it's just like, this isn't, okay. My hands were tied. But it was a great stepping stone. And then when the opportunity came to join White Peony, then it was a no-brainer. And I get to do all kinds of creative things there.
Well, and I think you nailed it on the head. Like when I think of all the things that you have done, which are many different pieces, you said it perfectly, and it kind of gave me chills down my whole body. You said everything that I've done leading up to this point has honestly contributed here.
It's brought me to here. It's all accumulative.
Yeah.
And I use every piece of it now, which is really great. And it just depends upon your perspective. There were not any places that I shouldn't have been. They
mm-hmm.
were all there for a reason.
A reason.
Every time. And you get those little God winks mm-hmm. where you're like, God, I don't know if. And it's like, nope, this is where you're supposed to be.
I love that. So looking back, how did motherhood shift the way you viewed purpose and your creativity? Because creativity definitely is the number one equation, I think, when I think of my mom.
Motherhood was pivotal. I lost my mom and dad when I was in my 20s. You were here when I lost my mom, and then Alex was here when I lost my dad. It was just really important because being a parent was the most important job. So everything after that all was surrounded by to be the best parent you could be. Any kind of career was then shifted. So I used to manage at the hotels, and then it was, nope. My kids aren't going to know who I am. So quit that. Opened a daycare. Had my little honeys. So then I had a really big family, so that was pretty cool. And then I was going to do that until the kids were in kindergarten. And then people started planning their families around my openings.
Yeah.
That was weird. It's like, oh, that's not a good idea.
That's not a good idea.
But we had a lot of fun. And it was just really super important to be able to be there. So when the bullies happened, because everybody's got a bully now and then, I could be there and try to head it off.
The bullies.
The bullies. You know those bullies.
Life.
Everybody, you come across it, whether it's a small event or if it's a real problem. But it was really important to be able to be there and be part of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And that never changes.
Mm-hmm. I can't look at you. I'm going to like baby cry.
You said at one point, you're like, should we face each other? I'm thinking, bad idea.
Bad idea.
Really bad idea. Can we be in separate rooms? I'm going to go sit in the photo booth.
Yeah. Can you talk to my, send her the message or the questions? That'd be great. Oh, man. I think we're going to take it now to your creativity and service, and then we'll bring it back a little bit more.
Creativity is really important. It's like some people say, oh, you're so blessed. It's like, no, it's such a curse.
I sometimes joke about that, too.
It's really true.
Because you get yourself all sorts of to-dos and
I get myself in
adventures
trouble.
And...
Well, yeah. If I get a creative idea, it gets stuck in my head, and I can't do anything about it until I either make it, try, fail, doesn't matter, but it has to be completed or it won't leave. And then I can go on to my next wild hair. Mm-hmm.
And then my creativity when I'm driving or I'm left alone for 5 minutes or silent, where I actually can think, my creativity goes rampant.
We can tell, because then the text and the Snapchat start about 6:30, and Tom will go, Lindsay's up.
Tom is my dad.
Yeah, Tom is 41 years of putting up with my shenanigans.
I love that. No, and I will, once I'm like, gosh, should we try this? And if I, and my mother-in-law even knows this,
yes.
Anyone around me who truly knows me, but if I say, would you ever
want to
run?
Put your seatbelt on. Don't run, because she'll find you.
Yeah, you're right.
Just put your seatbelt on.
We're going to do something
fun. It's going to be a wild
it's
ride.
It's going to be an adventure. That is probably something I'm most grateful for, because truly, when you take away anxiety, you take away the stress of a day. If I'm in my peace, calming, whatever that looks like in the day.
That's a 30-minute.
My creativity.
30-second.
I love finding a new strategy, a new solution, coming up with something.
She doesn't sleep.
No. I try to sometimes, but not really.
It puts her out of commission for a minute.
But I do say, I'm so grateful, because not everyone has the creativity. And then there are times where I also joke, like you said, and say it's a curse. can't stop.
If I can't do something creative within so many days, I get really crabby. And I don't like being crabby. That's just, it's like petting a cat the wrong way. It's just out of my vernacular. I don't like it. I don't want to be part of it. So I got to make something.
So creativity, where did this stem from as a child? Like, where did you get it from? Because I know Tenley has your
creativity
in her. Tenley's going to be the one to be the sewing. She's
Thank
already
goodness.
Sewing with grandma.
Somebody's got to do baking. The mending when I'm not here.
I'm not. I love all
you
other
You will have
things.
No buttons on any of your clothes.
No, I can sew a button.
Really?
I can sew a button.
Really?
I say, this is what I tell everyone. I will try to make anything, but I will not sew. And I will not put a flower arrangement together.
Nope.
I really am not good at those two things.
No, but she can decorate. Ooh.
Yes, that I can do.
Her Christmas is.
However, Tenley, and I don't love baking, and I think I don't love
no,
baking.
No, but you're a good cook.
I love cooking, but I think that I've tried your cookies too many times and failed, because they're just not the same. I think everyone can vouch for that with something.
I have, that's my thing. But I used to sell cookies, even in high school, there was a little convenience store and a liquor store. Mm-hmm. And I used to have a jar of cookies, fresh cookies, every day.
See?
And my mom would be just furious, because I'd make a ton of money, but I never paid her for the ingredients. Oh, I was a turd.
That also sounds like Tenley, so yes. She 100% gets
it. Well, we're going to work on that. We'll get that. Oh, yeah, that was terrible. But yeah, the cookies have always been a thing.
Yeah. If there's anything creativity with you, you got to let it fly.
I
like
have
you
to.
Said, you can't,
I don't
you
have
need
a choice.
Creativity.
And even when I had my daycare, when the kiddos would nap, I would work on the project that would be their next gift. Because all of their holiday gifts were all homemade.
Yes.
Whether it was a bag or a sweatshirt that had something embroidered or applique on. And they'd have words
names.
Of affirmation,
yes.
Like, you're remarkable. Or they'd each have a different word. Remarkable.
Brave.
Stupendous. And they were big words. And I had this one little boy who came from a really... really tough house. I felt so bad for him, but he was thriving and he was going to be ready for school. And I made his sweatshirt fantastic. And he goes, Mom, I'm fantastic. Oh, it's so cool.
Seriously? I remember the amount of work you put in. Okay, so let's say there was 12 kids in the daycare.
Oh, yeah. We always said between 10 and 15, because I'd get variants.
Well, yeah. In the... The rules are probably a lot different than from now. I don't know what they are right now. But I'll never forget the two gifts. The one, the sweatshirt that you're talking about.
Yep.
And then you made the plastic see-through
aprons. The
I'll
painting
never
aprons.
Forget that. They're so cute. And she would do things with their handprints. And again, personalize them. It wasn't just like a little mini gift for Christmas. I mean, you
your dad
out.
Would just shake his head and go, oh, oh boy, what? Here she goes.
It's typical. Yep. And now another thing, when I think of Mama Jane, not only her creativity, but absolutely her customer service and how she makes people feel. So you're also known for your kindness and incredible customer service. It's never been about selling for you. It's truly about serving.
I used to get in trouble for that.
Really?
Yeah. At one of my jobs, my customers would wait for me because they knew I wasn't going to fluff. I was going to tell them the truth and do everything I could to help them and get them the best deal and give them the best service. And they would wait for me literally for hours. And I had a quota. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard for me to make that quota because I always had a line of people waiting. So, yeah, it would get me in a bit of a trouble. But it really didn't matter because how the customer feels at the end, or your friend, or that person at the gas station. It's like, why can't people just be nice?
Well, and care.
And so care.
That's one thing. That's another thing that I took away from you, is watching her. We would be, and I've said this in a couple of speeches that I've given, but we would be in a gas station, complete stranger. We're checking out, you know, getting snacks before a basketball tournament or whatever that
is. We were famous for our snacks.
Our road trip adventures. We'd go in, and my mom would be the most, I mean, it was probably, I don't know, 6 a.m.
Hopefully it wasn't too friendly, because sometimes that really annoys people.
But, like, I feel like, as a little girl, I kind of was like, what, Mom? Because she would have a wonderful day.
You'd say, do you know them?
No. Yes.
Nope, new friend now.
But the way they'd say, oh, thank you, and it was like, you could definitely, I've seen this countless times with my mom and strangers, just giving them the best gesture, asking them how their day was, leaving them completely filled without them even knowing that's something they needed. But you can see it in their expression. And so when I think about you and deeply caring, I often am like, where did that stem from? Where did you get that from?
I think my mom was the people person, people pleaser, always fixing things for people. And I ran into an old high school friend the other day that said, your mom used to do all of our alterations. She would do all of their alterations for their family, and she would do that for all kinds of people, mm-hmm. and baking and sewing. So she was the people person that way. Dad was the creative. Mom was more structured. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just to be kind. I mean, just to take that extra minute. Mm-hmm. It fills you up just as much as everybody else.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And like looking back at all of your customer service and creating something that made a real impact, is there a certain person that you had a interaction with or?
Well, just recently we had a couple of gals in to the boutique. She was just really having a hard day. And it's sometimes when you try clothes on, it's don't look at the number. It really has nothing to do with anything. I'd love to cut it all off.
Honestly.
It's so dumb. And it's how you feel in it. It's not the number, just holds you back. Mm-hmm. So that goes back to step outside the box. You don't have a box. You don't need a box. Just do the right thing. Do how it makes you feel. Listen to your God winks, you know.
Yeah, I agree. When I think about the values I lead with every day, connection, creativity, integrity, it all comes back to you. What are the core values, Mom, you tried to instill in me growing up?
Well, it was really important to be nice. You were a tad bit bossy.
Leadership.
But that's okay. The leadership aspect was deep. It was really young. But then, like, we'd go camping every weekend before all the sports started. And whenever we'd go camping and whenever you were off to play, because it was, you know, free range parenting back then. So it was, how many friends are you going to make today? Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, you bring all these kids back to our camp and go, Mom, and this one, and this one, and this one, and this one.
This is my new friend.
And my new friend. And there were always, you know, more than one. And then you had pen pals. And there was one when you were really little. I mean, and to write a letter was really tricky. And you guys kept in touch for years.
Yeah, we did. I definitely remember that.
Then when sports started, it was, you know, how many new friends did you make on your team? So all of those connection parts were really important. So you've got
kindness, hard work.
You have your connection, hard work. That was really important because, you know, when you have restaurants at the state fair, mm-hmm. it's really great that grandma and grandpa want you to come and work for them, but they don't want you to just sit at the counter and say hi to everybody. You got to work. And it's a lot of work. You're up at 3 in the morning and you probably don't get to bed till 9 o'clock at night.
Or later. as you or get later. Older.
As you
teenage
get older,
Lindsay
you
got
don't
a
care.
Lot less sleep than that.
Right. She'd come back with bags under her eyes, but lots of tips. And people would come back every year to the state fair to see you.
Yeah.
They were like, where's Lindsay? And she's going to be here this year, right? And these little guys that were customers for,
years,
you know, 40 years before we were even at the fair, or 30, and they just loved seeing Lindsay because you made sure that they were happy and they got their food, but you were always cheerful and you always went above.
Well, and that's where I get it from you. Like, I think of little Lindsay at the state fair, and I kind of observe my grandpa making these connections with everybody.
Oh, he was great. He should have been the ambassador.
Literally. And then when I think of my mom talking with anybody, so I, from watching you and my grandfather and my grandma.
And Grandma Bev, yep, she was always there.
But I learned very quickly that just by taking a little lecture with customer service, not just bringing food, not just asking what they want, asking them how their day was so far, asking them where they're going to go to next.
What's your favorite part of the fair?
Yeah, and literally, as a young girl, I started asking more questions, but I realized that connection piece was made. And these individuals legitimately did come every year to see me. And then when I had my second daughter is when I kind of took a back seat, and my grandma would call me almost every day and say, Lindsay, so-and-so is asking where you've got to come back. They're asking where you are.
We need you at the fair. Can you work this weekend? And she's, well.
It's been pretty cool because now my kids are at the fair for a little bit and they're learning kind of that customer service route. So it's pretty incredible.
You know, and with the customer service thing, and when you're trying to be kind to all these people, every once in a while, I mean, those bullies do pop up. And then now you've got to stand up for yourself and believe in yourself and the integrity and never settle.
Well, for me, one thing I wrote down here, a value that you definitely instilled in me is to believe in yourself, or self-worth, self-belief.
Self-esteem.
You know, and that is something I think everybody battles
with.
It's
really hard.
So it has never been perfect for me by any means, but I think you're speaking to that where you have always told me to stand up for myself in a very respectful way.
Yes. Punching is not
an option. No, no.
It's not suggested.
Not an option.
No.
No, honestly. And it's not that I've never been one, even till this day. I hate confrontation.
Yep, me too. But you have to stand up for yourself. I mean, when somebody is calling out your integrity or is calling out the way you look in their eyes, that's just wrong.
When I was, I don't know, was it sixth grade?
Fifth, sixth
grade.
That was tough. That was tough year.
I did. I had a bully that would call me fat almost every day, or make a comment about my size. And you guys, at the time, I mean,
you know,
you're
think
fifth
about
and
fifth.
Sixth grade, and it was right before travel basketball. And looking back, and it doesn't even matter.
It's before you really start to develop. So you've got your little kid body. You know, you've got little cheekers, and you got your little tummy. But you're a kid, and you're busy, and who cares? And then she was just, she was something. When this bully was being a bully, it was really important that you stood up to her. At some point, you had to decide that this is enough.
Well, and I think in the beginning, you were like, you know, Lindsay, ignore her. There's other, like,
you know, the one thing I did say is I said, take it to the court.
Yeah, to the basketball court.
You guys, does she play basketball? Maybe you should take it to the court. No, you can talk about it.
Yeah, because I wasn't ever one to be confrontational or anything like that.
But she was you were a different person on the court.
Yeah, I love playing basketball.
Yep.
But no, and then one day you literally finally said, Lindsay.
Well, it was enough, because you would come home and be so, so sad. It was just devastating. And what do you do? I mean, you have to figure it out. And one day you came home and you were walking a little taller and your head was a little higher. And I went, so how'd it go today? And she went, I figured it out. And she won't be doing that anymore. You just addressed it. And it was like, okay.
And it wasn't, I know exactly what was said.
And it wasn't negative. None of it was negative, and none of it was physical. Yeah. And it was just, you were like,
not
just knock
all.
It off. And it took care of it.
Yeah. But then
it was an aha moment.
So from little Lindy to sports for, you know, at one point, I think I thought I was going to the WNBA. Actually, I didn't think.
Yeah, she was.
I knew I was going to.
They hadn't formed it yet, but she was going there.
Yeah. Right. I'm not that old.
You know what she did?
They did have the WNBA.
When she was 12, she wrote a letter to Nike and Adidas and chewed them out.
I did.
And said, she did. She's like, how do you expect girls or women to play
Basketball
at their highest level when you only make men's sport shoes.
And there was like two options, if that, and they were hideous. And I was like, I want
she was a fashion
shoes.
Diva already.
Who knew? I actually didn't put that together.
I didn't either until just now.
Well, okay, so from
so that didn't work. They didn't respond.
Senior year in basketball was really rough for me mentally. So there's little rocky moments getting through the sports on a mental aspect.
Psychology.
And then,
thank goodness for 5 years of psychology in college because I needed it.
And then I took a new role at one point in a previous career. And honestly, I was pretty hated on for a solid month. I would come home and cry almost every single day. And I was like, maybe it's not worth it. Maybe it's not worth it. They don't like me. They don't want me to be in this position. And my mom said, everything, looking back to every ounce of questioning my worth or who I was or having imposter syndrome in any way, shape, or form, you have always said, Lindsay, just be you.
Just be you. They can't help but love you. I mean, my goodness.
They'll figure it out. You always say they'll figure out who you really are. Mm-hmm. And you do say they'll love you. But that might be coming just from
That's
my
just
mom.
It's just the mommy thing. I can't help it.
Yeah.
But no, you have to just be yourself. Not everybody's going to like you. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm. We've taken it back a little bit. But I kind of want to, let's take it present time. What, mom, does success mean to you? Not in terms of money or status, but in the way you live and
love. Am I getting a raise?
It depends. Just depends on how
depends
good
by the answer.
This
oh,
episode
this is,
goes.
This is pressure. You know, it's success. It's all perspective. Mm-hmm. Really, if you saw how tiny my house is, you'd go, oh, what the heck? And I complain because I've been there for 40 years. But, you know, we laugh every day. And I am so fortunate. So I think that's success. Mm-hmm. I have plenty of failings. And I tried a new recipe yesterday, and it was horrible. That was wasted. But no, it's all perspective and how you look at it. I mean, you have a choice. I could be a victim from being poor and having a tumultuous, you know, growing up, or I could use that as, man, I have learned so many things, and I am so much stronger because of it. So you have a choice.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know if I should go there, but I'm going to go there because this is a piece of your story, I'm going to cry now.
Oh, here she goes.
That is 100% contributes to the incredible human you are today and how strong you are. But when you say, you know, you can be a victim or a victor, take it back to why. Why did you say that? What did you go through?
Growing up was pretty tumultuous. My father was a violent alcoholic that tried to kill my mom many times. And that's not to make light of it, because we did get him the help he needed, and he did quit drinking when I was in high school, went through Project Turnabout, which was a remarkable place. And I did a lot of counseling then too, which really helped. It took me a lot longer to get over it. Well, I don't know if you ever really get over it, but it took until recently when I could say, okay, this is who I am and I'm okay. I could see the difference when he drank and was violent, and when he didn't, he was a totally different person. So I could differentiate between the two. And I just think of all the things that I learned and could see in a different light that just made me so much stronger. I had a choice. Oh, this is terrible. Oh, what a terrible thing to go through. You know, yeah, life is tough.
And then,
but
when he did get sober.
Fantastic guy. Totally fantastic guy. And then we had a bout with cancer, and then we got over that, and then it came back, and I lost my mom in the middle of my dad's cancer. So it was all just, that was just really a rough, I don't know, it was just a really deep time. And you just learn. I mean, you have to learn from it and be stronger from it, and I think that's why I dove into being mom so, so deep.
Yeah, I agree.
So we had lost, well, you were born, so we got married in 84. We had you in 86.
Yep.
We lost my mom in 87.
Nobody do the math.
We had Alex in 88, and we lost my dad in 89. So it was just a rough 5 years. And, you know, I learned so much. I just think it really made me a lot stronger.
I would agree.
Made me believe deeper.
Mm-hmm. That's probably where that passion stems from.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, because I'm, you know, get me in a bear hug with one of my grandbabies.
Mm-hmm. Kind of wrapping everything up here. What advice would you give to someone listening who's trying to figure out their next step or wondering if it's too late to start something new?
Well, it's never too late. First of all, you need to get rid of the box, that stupid box.
She talks about that a lot.
I do. It's because people are like, stay inside the box and stay inside the lines and stop it. Just get rid of the box. And what did you really like to do when you were young? What was that thing that just really made you so full of joy? Why is it too late? Mm-mm. If you didn't know how old you are, when your birthday was, how old are you? I don't know. Go for it. Embrace whatever.
I agree. I also think that as you grow up and get a little bit older, the more and more you should deep dive into what fuels you and the values that you stand strong.
You have to keep looking at it, because when you're a mom or a dad, you get so involved in your children, you forget your passions.
Yeah.
And pretty soon those little honeys are going to be off doing their own thing. And then what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to get along with each other?
Yep.
What's going to fill your cup? Because sometimes the kids fly and, you know, they just go.
And my mom always says, you got to find your purpose. Everyone wants a purpose.
Oh, you have to have a purpose. Even when you're old, even my mother-in-law at 91, she has to have a purpose. So when she's knitting her afghans or mm-hmm. helping somebody with, she's now in assisted living, but now, you know, helping someone with a puzzle, yep. or you have to have purpose or you just lose hope.
So it's never too late.
Ever. Oh, no.
Ever.
Never. Just ask my brother. He's 80 years old. He just bought a sewing machine, taught himself how to sew, and made his curtains in his mm-hmm. house, like a dozen curtains. Because somebody said, well, we can't make those. Really?
He has some of the same values, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's his was passion, part of it, too, that passion.
Drive.
Very much driven.
I love this. This is good.
That was fun.
Can you believe we're doing this?
No.
This is
so outside of my comfort zone. So.
Actually, mine too.
And you didn't get hives.
I didn't.
I'm so proud.
I know, thanks.
When she first started doing White Peony Lives, she would go out, and I'm trying so hard to be quiet in the background, which is impossible for mm-hmm. me to do. So she would go out and do her live, and then she'd come back in the back to change, and we'd repowder her neck and chest because she was this thermometer of red yeah. going up her neck because yep. she was so nervous.
As things were growing a little bit, and I realized more and more people were watching, and I didn't, you know, you don't even think about it, but then I would be out in the public or doing something and someone would be like, oh, I watch, you know, more and more people would say, I'd watch this live on, I bought this on there, and I'm like, oh, wow, we're getting serious. And then it got more nervous, but I still, one foot in front of the other, still did it.
Yeah, you did really well. And it was crazy because when you started and it was in your basement, and we had before that had, we were doing a craft show out of your garage and people were buying stuff as fast as we could get them
yeah,
finished.
That
and
that was fun. Those were
That
memories.
Was so fun. And then it was like, why don't you, she was like, I'd just love to start a boutique. And it's like, well, what are you waiting for?
Yeah.
So you get old? That's a great idea.
Do it now.
Do it now. Just do it. Mm-hmm. Find a way. There's always a way, whether it's a smaller version mm-hmm. or there's always a way.
I love that. Well, Mom, I could honestly talk to you for hours. And we often do.
And we do.
But I just want to say thank you for raising me with heart. Thank you for showing me that hard work and kindness are never wasted.
You turned out pretty good.
And thank you for reminding me every day that anything is possible.
And you can do it.
When you believe in yourself and the people around you.
And when you hear Lindsay say, would you ever want to
run?
Buckle up. No, don't run.
Buckle
She'll find
up.
You. Just
right. Okay.
Buckle up.
You are the foundation of so much of my life and business. And today I hope everyone listening got a glimpse into just how lucky I am to call you my mom.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Thank you for listening. If you found this information helpful, please share it with a friend. If you're looking for more information on the topics we covered, please head to the show notes below. And if you wouldn't mind leaving a 5-star rating and review, this would help this mission and our journey to get started. Let's make today and every day an opportunity to level up. Until next time, keep dreaming, keep striving, and keep making a difference.